Beyond Radley. Business, careers, and more. Virtual talks by experts from our community.
So good evening and a warm welcome to our latest Beyond Radley talk, our virtual talks program featuring experts from the Radley community. This time around, we're focusing on the topic of how to be more successful in your life and in your work, a very important topic that probably plays on most people's minds at different times in their lives. Our speaker tonight, Ollie Christie, Old Radleyan, 1984D, is a coach, a mentor, and a consultant. Following a career in advertising as a creative director, he started Neon Play in 2010, a mobile games company which has had over 200 million downloads. He's also been awarded a Queen's Award for Innovation and Entrepreneur of the Year for his work with Neon, which spanned 20 years. Ollie has a wealth of business experience that he now brings to his coaching and consultancy practice, which he started in 2024 to help people become more successful. So Ollie is now going to guide you through the critical questions to help you to evaluate your current career, make future plans, and find personal fulfillment. After that, we're lucky enough to have Blake Williams, who's a current 6-1, who's actually starting his mocks in a couple of days. So we're very lucky to have him here tonight. And he's going to ask Ollie some questions of his own and also field any questions from you if necessary. So without further ado, over to you, Ollie. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline, for that lovely intro. And it's great to be here. I haven't actually been back to Radley since I left in 1989. And in my last year, I will start sharing a screen and I'll tell you a little story. My girlfriend was coming to visit and her brother had left the year before and she'd come in to watch a cousin play. And as matches finished, she said, well, should we go into Oxford afterwards? And I thought, well, you know, why not? So I signed out with the housemaster. I was about to go, thought we would walk down to the bus stop to get the bus into Oxford. And as I walked outside our house, suddenly an open top gold convertible Ford Escort rocked up with a bunch of people sitting in there. And I was like, oh my God. This was not against school rules to get into someone's car, but I couldn't really say, no, I'm going to go and get the bus when they were all waiting there. So I jumped into the car and without me knowing, they suddenly whizzed past Clock Tower. And I've created an image on ChatGPT. And this is pretty much what happened. People were sitting on the back drinking beer, smoking fags, and we whizzed 3 o'clock Tower, but at the wrong time because all the school coaches were leaving from matches. So there were about 10 coaches at all the masters there. Anyway, I went to Oxford, had a good time, and I came back and I got deprefected. So this is the first time I've been let back into the fold of sort of acceptance and normality. Anyway, my mission really as a coach and a consultant is to help people make the absolute most of their lives and businesses before it's too late. And I think that's really, really important because sometimes people are going through trouble in their life, whatever stage that might be post-university, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s even. And so the challenge is like, if not now, when? And that's really what I wanted to work with you guys today, because life is super busy, isn't it? We are so stretched, whatever age we're at, whether we've got kids growing up, old, young, it doesn't really matter. There is just so much to juggle with your work, career, family, children, your friends, your social life, trying to learn and grow, your mental health, your physical health, money. It's all there. There's just a lot of things to juggle. And there's also a time of change. If you think about it, our parents are getting older. Our children sometimes are growing older and sometimes leaving home. And also you can get bored in your job. And often after 10 or 20 years of a career, or even after 2 years sometimes, you can be really bored of your job. So there is a real time of change. And that gets you thinking, doesn't it? What I want to be doing with my life? Am I in the right job? Am I in the right relationship even? What I want to get out of my life? What does success mean to me? All these things are super important. And so just today, we've got about 25 minutes. I want to just go through a couple of things, and I hope it'll get you excited about your future. I really do. But also think about what's important to you in your life. And it's not what's important to your parents or your friends. It's what's important to you, because I think sometimes society forces us down this certain road. I've got a client who said that my grandfather wants me to become an accountant. My father wants me to go into the city, but I don't want to do any of those things. And sometimes we're sort of pigeonholed into these different careers. And it's really important that it's what's right for you. But also, it's really important to be honest with ourselves And you'll see in the exercise we'll do in a minute. We will not finish the day because there's just not simply time to do it properly, but I will give you an overview of what we can do, and then ideally afterwards you'll go in and complete this exercise. And coaching is very much about looking forward. It's not about looking backward. That is often therapy, and coaching is a very positive thing of taking it from where you are today. What's happened can obviously shape where you are, but it's very much a forward-looking positive process. And it's really about goals. Very personal, obviously, at the moment with Euro 24 happening. But the secret of success is to look at your goals and what you want out of life. And there's this thing called a success triangle, and there are three prongs to it. One is attitude, one is behavior, and one is technique. The main chunk of what we'll do today is technique, and I'll just briefly give you an overview of attitude and behavior. So for attitude, this is not a rocket science. It's about staying positive. My old man talks about a positive mental attitude. And if you have got a PMA, as he calls it, it can just your approach to life and everything that happens to you, because there are going to be big ups and big downs, is so important just to get through those lows with a positive attitude. Because did you know that 76% of our thoughts are negative? So we're just bombarded with negativity in the press and the media, with bad stuff going on with social media. And so fighting that for that 25%, you've almost got to overcompensate to be positive and realize that. Now, there's a great book called The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan. And if you're interested in this, it's a really good book. And essentially, his thinking is that from the start, you've got an ideal goal. So let's say it's here, if you can see me, about three quarters of the way up. Now, you might not achieve that goal. All right. And therefore, that is what's called the gap, that bit between what you have achieved and what you haven't achieved. But the important thing is to look not what you haven't achieved, but what you have achieved. And that is the gap. So you mustn't measure, sorry, that's the gain, sorry. So you mustn't measure the gap to your failure. You've got to measure the gain from where you started. And that's that positive outlook. And it's a really good way to look at it. The second thing is behavior. And it's really about building good habits. Now, the classic book, which is a number one bestseller, which if you haven't read, you really should, is by James Clear. And he's got a fantastic newsletter called Atomic Habits. And if you'd the summary really of his book is habits take a while to form, but you've got to choose a habit. And then you've got to choose when you will do it and where you will do it, and then just keep repeating. And habits take about 3 weeks to build. Now, a classic habit is brushing our teeth. We will brush our teeth after breakfast and before we go to bed. That has become a lifelong habit for most of us. So what else can be a habit? It might be that you want to do some press ups, some exercise. So when will you do it, and where will I do it, and when will I repeat? So for me, for instance, when the bath is running in the morning, I will do some press ups then, because it's the dead time. So every day I know it's going to be in the bathroom while the bath is running, and that's when I will do it. And that's become as habitual as me brushing my teeth. If you want to learn an instrument, maybe it's when you get back from work. You just want to strum on the guitar, play the piano, but I will do it after I get back from work. Where? I will do it wherever the piano or the guitar is. But make it easy for yourself. Don't put the guitar behind the sofa. Put it on the behind the curtain, put it on the actual sofa itself. So that's a good way of doing it. Yep, Caroline, yes. Please do ask any questions. Put your hand up or just ask away. So that's habit building. Really, really important. But the main thing I want to talk about is technique. And there's this thing, and I don't know if you've all printed it out. I hope you have, called a life wheel. If you haven't printed that, just get a piece of paper and draw a big circle and then do 10 pizza slices. And I will talk you through these 10 pizza slices. Now, the key thing here is to be really objective. This is not meant to make you feel bad. And a low number is a starting point. So if you've got some low numbers, and that's been really important to be honest, and what you're going to end up with is something like this. So shade in. So a one is really low and a 10 is super high. So shade in that color, because at the end, you're going to have a pizza which looks a little bit like this. So I'll talk you through all these different areas, and please, like these two, be honest with yourself. So the first slice, your physical health and your energy. How is your health at the moment? Have you got any injuries? How full of energy are you feeling when you wake up in the morning? How are you sleeping? Do you feel like doing exercise? Are you doing exercise? So if you just could quickly just shade that area in. One is low, 10 is very, very high. Secondly is mental health. How are you feeling mentally? Do you get low more than maybe you should? It's okay to feel like you're having tough times, but can you grit through it, or do you really suffer? Maybe you're depressed, and that which is another issue which you might need to see a therapist about or take medication. But how is your mental health at the moment? Shade in your area. Next up is family. So family can encompass all sorts of things. That can encompass your siblings, your parents, your grandparents, your cousins even. What are the relationships like with your family? Are you seeing them enough? When you're seeing them, are you bickering? Are you having good quality relationships? Are you spending quality time with them, like really good one-on-one time, or are you just sitting there on your phones? Maybe you're going on holidays together. How good are your family relationships? Then friends, what's your friendship group like? Have you got the sort of friends you want? Are you seeing the friends that you actually want to see? Or maybe you're hanging out with people that you don't want to see because maybe they're the friends of your partner, but you're not quite so keen on them. Maybe you're not socializing at all. Maybe you're just feeling really flat, knackered, and you're just never seeing friends. So how's your friendship on your life wheel? One is low, 10 is high. Next up is work and career. Now, obviously, everyone on this call is at different ages and stages of their life, but how is your working career? Is it going in the right trajectory that you want it to be? Are you getting promoted as often as you think you should be? Are you stagnating in the job that you're working at? Or maybe you're flying and you're due a promotion. How is your working career? Maybe you've been made redundant. Maybe it's time to reassess where you are in your career and do something different because the world is changing. AI is going to dramatically affect the workplace more than anyone can actually truly realize, and in a shorter term than we actually appreciate. So how is your working career? Finances. So these can be obviously laid to your connected to your career, but how are your finances? Are you saving into your pension? Is your pension going to be enough when you get to retirement age? Are you putting away ISAs? Maybe you've got investments. Are they good investments? Maybe you should stop investing. Have you got enough spending cash? Are you putting some money aside for holidays, for presents, whatever it might be? How are your finances at the moment? Mission and purpose. So mission and purpose is like, do you feel you've got an actual purpose in life? And that could be in your career. It could be in stuff you do out of work. It might be for charity, for helping others, for connecting people, for helping people. Do you actually feel that you've got a bit of a purpose in life? Because if you don't, it can feel a little bit rudderless, and it's really important to work out, have you got a mission in life? What are you going to do to make sure that when you're lying on your deathbed, you're thinking, yeah, I've actually achieved something of value, of worth here. How about adventure? Now, adventure doesn't need to be climbing up Machu Picchu on a donkey. It doesn't necessarily need to be that, or hiking down Grand Canyon, climbing Everest. But it could just be adventurous. Is there a bit of adventure in your life? Now, that can be taking the dog on a different walk one day. It could be walking a different way to the tube station, but it's just that adventurous sense of mind. Now, of course, it could also be doing great trips as well. That can be adventure or walking Hadrian's Wall or whatever it might be. But how's your adventure in your life? And then there's learning and growth. How are you learning? Are you growing? Because if you don't learn and grow, life can become quite boring. So how is that? And then finally, fun. Fun, I find incredibly important. It's not traditionally on a life wheel, actually, but what is the fun in your life? Are you having a laugh? Are you creating opportunities to have a laugh with friends, with family, with colleagues, whatever it might be? So look at your life wheel, and often it's quite stark looking at some things are very high, some things are surprisingly low. Now, often they are correlated and there is balance. So what are your lowest scores? And have a look at those. Now, the next part is looking at your goals. And so the second point of the sheet is this bit here, okay, which is, and what I've done is I've given you some chances to write three things for mental health, family, whatever it might be. There are some more or less, but there are some blank gaps. So writing these things down is really important. Now, we haven't got time here to fill out all of these, but just spend a minute maybe just starting to fill out some of them, the things that you would like to do to make, we're halfway through the year now, to make the second half of this year your best year ever. So just have a quick think, quick jot down of some things in some of those categories. The ones that are lower are worth looking at in particular, obviously, because they're ones maybe you need to change the direction of travel and make them something which are more fulfilling, gives more value, more worth to what you're doing, to your life and your career. What do you want to do? Who do you want to spend time with? What would your income to be? What clients might you want to work with? Do you want to create something? Do you want to visit somewhere? Traveling? Are you overweight? Do you want to do more aerobic activity? You've got a sore back. What do you want to learn? Where do you want to go on a holiday? Maybe what are your retirement plans? Do you have a big dream? So we don't have time today to look at all this, but just keep on filling out a few of the bits, just a few top line things. Because what we'll find is often by writing stuff down, did you know that only 3% of people actually write down what they want to do? Which is a staggeringly low number. And those 97% of people who aren't writing things down are missing the opportunities. Now, we all have to-do lists, but this is like big life goal stuff. And if we can look at this, it can be really interesting and it can make you more likely to achieve stuff that you want to do. So, have you got a few things written down there? So, what we'll do now is what I'd like to do now, and I know you haven't had a chance to fill out all of them, is just write a few of those, tick boxes on the right side, which might be priority. So, maybe it's losing weight, maybe it's spending more time with your parents, maybe it's getting outside more, maybe it's learning to play an instrument or learn a language. Sophie, I've just seen a question about your purpose. That is tricky. There's a very interesting exercise called Ikigai, which is a Japanese thing. On my website, which is ollychristie.com, under the newsletter, at the bottom there's a thing called worksheets, and there's a thing there you can print out called Ikigai. And essentially it's a Venn diagram, and you're looking at what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what you can be paid for. And if you fill these things out, you can slowly get towards the middle, which is the ikigai, which is essentially your sense of purpose and your mission and what will give you the ultimate satisfaction, using your strengths, giving you the most energy. So that's a really good exercise to do to look at your purpose.
Can I just, in case people didn't ha don't have the chat up, the question that Sophie asked was the segment she's struggling most with is the mission purpose. Definitely feels she has some room for improvement, but doesn't know where to start. So, Ikigai, how do you spell that?
Ikigai.
Perfect. Thank you.
The Japanese are the wisest, and it's this is something which has been developed over centuries, millennia probably, and it's just a really interesting exercise to do, and it's something which I do with nearly all my clients as well. This exercise and the Ikigai one. Okay, so you've got some priorities now. On the next page, we'll just do one or two of these. This is when you start to dig deeper on some of your goals. So let's say we've got a goal between now and Christmas. So I want you to write down, and I'll give you a couple of examples before you actually do it yourself. Write the first column is write in the future and put a date to it and make it emotional. So what's your goal? And then you've got to write down why it's important to you, what's the current truth about the situation, and what are the available resources or people who can help you. So for me, for instance, I'll be so happy to be going on a solo trip with Alfie, who's my 14-year-old son, going to the Festival of Speed in July. That's my emotion. I can't wait to do that with Alf. Why is it got important? Because I like to do individual trips with each of my children every year, and Alfie loves cars and motorsports. What's the current truth of the situation? I need to book the tickets. I just need to get on with it and book the tickets. What are the available resources? I need to check with my wife that she's around to look after the dogs. So that's one example. Another one, I will feel great when I'm doing daily stretching, knowing it will help my back. Why? Because I'm middle-aged and I recently got a slipped disc. That's the reality of the situation. And I'm not getting any younger, and I need to get fit so I don't get injured, so I can play tennis and paddle, whatever it might be. Now the physio has given me some exercises, and I need to look at some YouTube stuff as well. And finally, I will feel so energized and happy to be paddleboarding on a trip to Priory Bay in the Isle of Wight in August. Why it's important? Because we do it every year, and it's always a beautiful morning, and everyone loves doing it. So I need to get planning, and then we can leave it to the last minute for the good weather. And there's a WhatsApp group to make it happen. So can you see? So for you, just choose one or two of those things on your list. Make it emotional. Put an emotion to that first thing and put a date when you want to do it by. So do that now. Goals need to be, ideally be specific. They need to have an action associated with them. They need to be ambitious, but they need to be realistic as well. You know, you may want to climb Everest, but you probably need to do Ben Nevis first before you do that step by step. And subconsciously, most girls have always, there's always a reason why it's important to you. So sometimes you need to dig a little bit deeper in that. You know, why is it? Just keep asking yourself, why? And there's a thing called the five whys, which is when you just keep asking yourself why five times. Caroline asks, is there a risk of overloading yourself with goals and then feeling like you've let yourself down? Is there a maximum? There can be a feeling of that, but if you've written down 40 goals, Caroline, and you achieve 10 or 15 of them, that's 10 or 15 which you have achieved, and that's looking at the gap and the gain I talked about at the beginning. Look at the gain that you have achieved as opposed to what you haven't achieved. But also, once you get into a mode of achieving stuff and doing stuff, you will do more. You know the phrase, what is it? Give a busy person things, whatever it might be. You know, if you're feeling flat, you can't even do the washing up or whatever it might be. But people who are just super busy achieve so much. I've had a really busy day today, and my to-do list, I've just knocked off so many things very, very quickly because I was just on it. But there are some days where doing the most simple thing, just paying one bill, feels like an absolute drudgery. So I hope that's interesting, looking at that. And I'd encourage you to fill out that whole goal sheet for those 10 different sections. Choose 8 of them, the most important priority ones, and then to fill it out with your 2024 year goal and why it's important, et cetera, et cetera. And then obviously you've got to try and start to do them. And so it's just planning how you're going to achieve those, who can help you, what are the dates, what are the stepping stones, because sometimes something doesn't happen just straight away. And see what can happen from that. Blake, if you're in a place where you're struggling to get the small things done as a challenge, how do you start building towards getting momentum towards larger goals? You just got to start somewhere, Blake. So let's say you need to start doing some more exercise because you're just losing, you're putting on weight and you're just not doing enough exercise. The best thing is to do one press up. So don't say, I'm going to do 20 press ups a day. Just literally do one press up. Because half the battle is getting onto the floor before you actually do that first press up. And then once you're down there, of course, you'll do 5 or you'll do 10 and then you'll get tired and or you might do 20, but you are down on the floor. It's the same way that if you want to plan a trip to Timbuktu with 4 mates, the first thing to do is just pick up the phone and then to call one mate and say, right, mate, I want to go to Timbuktu. I want to get 4 of us together and let's just do it. You just got to do the first thing. Now, there's a coach called Mel Robbins, and she's got this idea. When you just can't be asked to do anything and you're just struggling to do anything, she has this thing called 5-4-3-2-1. And you go, right, I haven't spoken to these mates in a long time, but I know I'm going to do it. And I go, right, 5-4-3-2-1, go. And you just get up the phone, call John, and you just do it. And sometimes it's just that, just do it. Just get that first thing. Because once you've started, you will get going. And that's the hardest thing, is that very first thing. It's like that first rung. If you want to climb a building, you've got to take that first rung on the ladder. So that's what I would say is the most important thing. Now, often it's quite hard to do this ourselves, so you might need an accountability partner. And this might be a part. It could be your partner. It could be a mate you're living with. It could be a colleague. Sometimes it's not necessarily someone who's super, super close to you. And maybe your accountability partners to each other. But that is often the most effective way of actually achieving stuff, is just finding a buddy, whoever it might be, to be your accountability partner and meet up once a month and go through your list. Because if you've got someone who's keeping you honest, it's a bit like having someone mark your homework and you know that you actually do a little bit more to do it. So I'd highly, highly encourage an accountability partner. And really, it's just about living a life without regrets. My biggest passion is making sure that when people lie on their deathbed, they're not going to go, oh God, what have I done? You know, when you look at the highlights reel of your life, is it going to be just full of things that you've done, places you've gone, laughs you've had, things you've achieved? But it's also getting that work-life balance right. Now, obviously, at different stages of your career, you will be working harder. When you get children, things become even more exhausting. But the important thing is to always just try and have a sense of balance. Even if your career is nutty and you're just working your butt off, you've still just got to get outside, do some exercise. Because if it's too imbalanced, that's when you have a breakdown. And a lot of people I'm having chats with, my clients, their work-life balance, their seesaw of life has just got so imbalanced, and they've got unhappy relationships. They're not seeing their kids enough. Their wife or husband are unhappy. And as a result of that, they're not being effective at work, at home, nowhere. A great coach once said to me, Ollie, to be a really good coach, you've got to look after yourself first. Because if you can't look after yourself, you can't help your clients, which made complete sense. And that's really made me think about looking after myself mentally, physically, etc. But then I thought, surely that applies to all of us. If we are not the best version of ourselves, we can't be good at work. It doesn't matter if you're a coach or an accountant or a solicitor or a rugby player, whatever it might be, you've got to be the best chanced to be the best you. And that balance, looking after yourself, is so important. And the older you get, the older I get, the more I realize that. There are a couple of things which can help about this. Is what's your word of the year? Now I know here there are a couple of things with two words, but if you have one word which summarizes everything that you want to achieve on your list of goals, or just generally your whole way of approaching life, that can help shape everything. So it could be happiness. Maybe you've just been a bit miserable and it's like, come on, mate, just pull yourself together. Be positive. I want a sense of fulfillment. I need more adventure in my lives. Maybe I want to help others. Maybe I'm feeling a bit selfish. Maybe I'm just a bit, I just can't focus on anything and I'm just juggling so many things, but I'm never actually achieving anything. Focus. Maybe it's just saying yes to everything. Maybe you just keep on saying no. There's a wonderful book by Danny Wallace called Yes Man, which was made into a average film with Jim Carrey, but it's a true story. Brilliant book. It's almost like a self-help book. But he was in a state in his life and he was just miserable. He's saying no to everything. And he met this guy on a bus who said, why don't you just start saying yes to everything? So he said, for the next 6 months of my life, I will just say yes. And his life completely transformed because instead of doing stuff, having fun, meeting people. So what's your word of the year? Mine is action for this year. My word was action because I was changing from running my games company to becoming a coach, and I knew I just had to do stuff. So it was just about just get off and do it. And it's worked. But just having that one word, put on a post-it note, whack it on your mirror where you see it every day, so it's sort of a permanent reminder of that. And one other little exercise to do is think about what your life mission statement is. Okay, and this can be a summary of everything you want to do. Now, and I do a headline, and I'll show you what mine is, and then I do a couple of subheadlines. So for me, my life mission statement is to be fulfilled and have fun. Okay, now that's me, age 53. That's what I want to do. Now, maybe when I was 20 or 30, it'd be different. It would be to become a creative director and meet a wife. But so it changes throughout your life. Every year it will change. And I break this down into two things. I've broken into my personal life to be emotionally fulfilled in my personal life with family and friends, having fun, funny and happy times, enjoying life experiences and making memories. So that to me is just everything I want to do really in my personal life. And then in my work life, I want to be mentally fulfilled in my professional life with creativity, learning, achievements, helping and coaching people and companies, and where relevant, financial success. So you can see how that summarizes my to be fulfilled and have fun. And then I've got this extra line and to be really excited about it. Because if I'm not excited by it, I won't do it. I want to approach things with a smile and positivity. And that goes back to that attitude thing I talked about at the beginning. Having a positive attitude. If you're not enjoying something, you won't do it well. And having fun is really, really important in work and in play. I'm a great believer in that. The best companies are the ones where people are having fun. So that's it, really. I would just encourage you to do it now. So to go back to that question from Blake, if you can't start something, just do the smallest thing just to do it. And if you can all fill out that life goals sheet and then break it down into steps, you've got a much greater chance of having a more fulfilling, a more successful, and a happier life and career. And those together are really, really important. So that's what I do. If anyone wants any help, this is what I do. I help people with their businesses, with their lives, with their careers, and often there's a combination of all three. But also, I help people from a marketing and a sales point of view. And just one final side, I've got a newsletter. which I send out every week. So if you want to sign up, go to that URL at the top. And every week you can see I do a different subject and I look at my thoughts on that subject, some personal experiences on that subject, an exercise, and then a recommendation, which might be a TED talk or a book or something like that. So do sign up and get a Sunday morning dose of motivation and happiness. So that's it, Caroline. I hope that was all right. How often do you review your life goals, Caroline? You said, I do it every month. I think it's a good thing to do, but I think having an accountability partner, but I would almost print, I would print them out and have them on your desk, on your wall, just so there's a constant reminder. Because sometimes you need to be just doing something, the whole time, booking tickets, speaking to somebody, making an appointment, whatever it might be. So just having them just front of mind, not so it becomes oppressive, but just so you have that feeling of momentum and moving forward constantly.
You, I think we're handing over to Blake now.
Cool.
Just like to say thank you, Ollie, as a sort of starter. Lots of phenomenally good things to take away there and sort of self-evaluate. Coming from a slightly different angle, I think, just to start with questioning, the sort of self-employment entrepreneurship route, something you've had sort of various success with. How do you recommend people start looking into that if they've reevaluated their life goals and that's a place they feel would suit them better?
I mean, I think starting a business is one of the best things you can do, but it's not for the faint-hearted. It is all-consuming. I remember when I started Neon Play, my old man said to me, "You do realize that you will never switch off." And I went, "No, I'm a creative director in an agency. I'm a senior. I'm used to." He went, "No. It's when it's your own thing, it's different." And he was so right. And you never switch off. But it's the most emotionally fulfilling thing I've ever done, well, apart from kids. And it can be really financially fulfilling as well. I think a couple of things. I would personally try and find a business partner who's got complementary skills, not the same skills as you. I think having somebody who you can work with together to keep you motivated, to bounce off ideas, to bring different skills to the party is really important. You obviously needed a great idea, which is so hard in a very cluttered and saturated, every market is very saturated, but have a USP. And you need to just grit your teeth and get through stuff. It's never going to be plain sailing. It will always be a big, big roller coaster. And I'm a great believer that you need to enjoy the highs and ride the lows. It's like skiing. You've got sometimes got to absorb the moguls, but then when you get a lovely big red motorway, you just got to burn down it and enjoy that. But yeah, I would encourage it, but it's not for everyone. But ultimately, if you want to make proper money, unless you maybe work in the city, it's the best way to do it, and you'll get so much more out of life by doing it, and you're creating opportunity, you're creating jobs.
Perfect. You mentioned actually the saturation, though, as a self-employment thing. As someone whose success started in the digital sphere, how's that evolved, changed over the last 10 years? And are there bits we can be learning to take better advantage of it as it develops?
I mean, I think there are always new ideas, and technology is obviously an area which constantly evolves. And AI, which is happening at the moment, is going to transform the world, and therefore there are big opportunities. I was lucky to get into mobile games relatively early. Doodle Jump had just launched in 2009. Angry Birds had just come out. The iPhone was just suddenly growing. So there was an opportunity there. And I'd never made a mobile game in my life before when I started Neon Play, but I'd made a previous game for the BBC in 2001 where you'd chuck paper in a bin. And we charged the BBC 10 grand for that game. And then 10 years later, when the iPhone came out, a game studio in Australia copied that idea pixel for pixel and launched a game called Paper Toss. And they were making £500,000 a month from my idea. That was pretty galling, but it made me think, Christ, I should be doing this. So I left my ad agency where I was just an employee, and I started Neon Play, but I'd never even made a mobile game. So it was a big punt, new market, nothing like it is today with the success of Candy Crush and Clash of Clans, etc. So sometimes you need to take a risk. And I think sometimes if you go too late, you are too late. You can't be perfectly ready to start a company. You need to have a little bit of squeaky bum time whereby there's a bit of edge to it. There's a monkey on your back thinking, what am I going to do? But there's always opportunities out there. You just need good ideas and you need to hire the best people you can afford as well. Really important.
Perfect. And that risk-taking bit, I think, can arguably extend it to your advice about sort of evaluating, especially your place with your career, your life goals, and whether that does involve changes. In your sort of experience as a coach, how do you help people find the balance between risk taking and wanting to move forward, get more fulfillment out of their lives, while also holding up for other responsibilities, whether that's kids, mortgages, whatever they might be? How do you strike that balance?
Well, it is a balance, and you obviously need to weigh up what you've got to lose. But if you don't take risks, you won't have a very fulfilled life. You know, I think some, you know, even if you're skiing and you're going down a slightly hairy run, when you get to the bottom, you think, blimey, I did that. And that can apply to business as well. So you can just lead a very nice, sedate life, going through life doing the same thing. But I don't think you'll ever be super fulfilled. And that's what I want for my clients. I want them to just really lead a life where they've got great fulfillment. But it's balancing things up. And I think when you're starting a company, you don't necessarily need to just quit your job and start something new. You can start something as a side hustle. I'm a great believer in what's called career cushioning, which is when you just start to do something on the side in case sometimes you might be made redundant tomorrow. What's your plan B? So it's always good to have a little side hustle, maybe just to have an extra income, but also to learn stuff and to grow. And that's a really good way of dipping your toe in the water, because you think, oh, you know, I could actually do this. I can make my own company out of this. You know, my daughter's got a jewelry company called Bella Christie Jewelry. A little plug there. So she's just done her A-levels, but she's been doing it as a side hustle for the last couple of years, and it's suddenly taking off. And I think the joy these days of starting a business is the cost can be so low compared to what it was beforehand. She would have had a factory 30, 40 years ago to actually make the jewelry. And now she can, you know, speak directly to someone in India or China who can make her designs, import it. She can have a Royal Mail account. She can have zero accounting. She can have TikTok and Instagram to market it. So the costs really for starting many companies these days are super, super low. So you can dip your toe in the water and experiment before you make a big commitment. Therefore, your risk is mitigated.
Perfect. And I think that actually does tie really well into what Sophie's asked, which is what can we do if a disaster comes along and knocks everything off balance? And I should just say quickly, if anyone here does have any questions, pop your hand up, chuck them in the chat. I think Ollie said he's very happy to try and get around to as many as possible.
Yeah, I mean, disasters do sometimes happen. I had a thing whereby we thought we might be able to sell our company to somebody, and we were working with them on a big project, and we thought they were about to offer to buy the company for multiple millions, and they sacked us on the spot, and it was a complete curveball. And I did have a day of panic and anger, and I went through all the emotions because we were so close to the sort of finish line. But that's not going to actually get you anywhere. And so I called up a few people who I trusted, and one of them happened to be head of digital at a book company called Hachette, who were looking to buy mobile game companies by complete freak chance. So I made my own luck. So sometimes you need to work out, you know, if it's life or death, if someone's going to die, that is obviously a disaster. But if no one's going to die, if this is not going to matter in 5 or 15 years' time, you just need to sometimes just grit through it. You know, pleading the mental health card, I'm afraid, is not going to help you get through disasters these days, because life is really, really tough. And I'm a bit worried, if I'm honest, about the younger generations thinking that they can't just tough through things, because life is really, really tough. And I think the quicker people realize that, the better the chance they've got of success in life to get through that. So really, you need to just look at the options, do a SWOT analysis of the situation. How bad really is it? What can you do to get out of it? But doing nothing will not work. You just need to be proactive and work what you can do, but also approach it with positivity. That's super important, because then there's more likely that something good will happen.
But in fact, I'd just like to point out the question in the chat. I don't know if you can all
see William that. Says, Schwarzenegger said, don't have a plan B. Anything in that? Well, it's easy for him to say, isn't it? I've seen the documentary, and he came from Austria and he went to America and he wanted to become this big bodybuilder and this film star. And yes, sometimes that single-mindedness is really, really important. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be dogged and push through. You know, when I started Neon Play, on day one, I got an 18-page legal letter from an ex-employer saying I couldn't start the business. Literally on day one, I got a courier at home, a courier at work, and an email. That was pretty gritty. I was meant to start the company with two business partners. And for various reasons, they did a U-turn and went back to our previous company where they were offered more salary, pay rise, la, la, la. And I was left by myself. holding our third child had just been born, and I couldn't write a line of code. I couldn't use Photoshop, but I had a book of great ideas for games. I could have given up, but I believed that iPhone gaming was the future of gaming. These things, which were relatively new back then, just overtaken the BlackBerry as this new tech gadget. So sometimes, yes, you're going to have to get through those really, really tough times. And I didn't have a plan B there at all. But I think as you are growing in your career, and as it's always good just to have something else, just even, I'm not saying it's necessarily a plan B, but it's just learning new skills, meeting people, networking, thinking about what else is there. Could it be a side income? So that's what I mean really about the plan B. But you've got to grit through stuff sometimes and just believe in yourself. Sandy, did you always see yourself as an entrepreneur and eventually doing your own thing, or is that something that came later for you? Good question, Sandy. For me personally, I've always just had a bit of an entrepreneurial streak, I think. Even when I was about seven, I used to make, those fortune teller things you make out of paper. I sold them for 10p at school. I would then, in the Isle of Wight, I would get pebbles, and I would just get pebbles off the beach, and I would just varnish them and flog them. When I was at university, I would run student nightclubs. In my school holidays, I would print T-shirts and sell them on the street. So I think I've personally always had that entrepreneurial streak, but that doesn't apply to everyone. And I think it's never too late to become an entrepreneur. But you've got to be prepared to take risks and take a lot of knocks. There's a reason I've got grey hair, and that's because of all the stress that running your own company creates.
I think just sticking with the entrepreneurial theme. Oh, sorry, Caroline, have you got a
That's
question?
okay. No, don't worry. I had a question around mentorship in your career, Ollie, and what role mentorship has played, if at all, and how you went about finding a mentor, if indeed you did find one.
Really good question, Caroline. And I think mentors are hugely important because we can't know everything, can we? Especially as we're going through our 20s and 30s. When I started Neon Play, I asked three people to be my mentors. One was my dad, who'd run his own businesses. So he'd sort of slightly been there and got the t-shirt. One was my father-in-law, who'd been extremely successful, and he started a FTSE 100 company. And one was somebody else who was a coach, and he'd run his own companies as well. So they'd sort of run small, medium, and large companies. We'd meet up once a year. I'd buy them a pub lunch. I'd send them a crate of wine at Christmas. And just having their grey-haired advice, so when things went really pear-shaped, they were there to go, it's okay. So, for instance, when at the very beginning, my two business partners left me, they were the ones I was like, "What do I do?" I didn't even tell my wife because she'd just had our third child. It wasn't really a great time to say that I'd resigned and left a good job to go and do this, and I got no one to actually make the games with me. So, mentors are really important. People are very flattered to ask to be a mentors, so never be afraid to ask. What's the worst they can say? They can say no. People don't always want money to be a mentor. You might have a non-exec director who you might pay money for, but people are generally quite flattered, and all it is really is an occasional phone call for someone to call you up. So just find the people who really inspire you, who you believe could help you in some way, whether it's connections, whether it's advice, whether it's the industry that you're looking to get into. Maybe people are getting towards retirement and they've got a little bit more time on their hands. But yeah, definitely get a mentor. It's a great thing.
Yeah, I just pitch at that point for Radley Connect. For those on the call, you can there's a mentoring program in there. So if you do want or looking for a mentor, go on to Radley Connect because you'll see that there's quite a few people there that are willing to help. Get in touch with us if you're not sure how to do that.
And it can only help that sort of thing, because you will learn stuff and you will learn from their mistakes. And mistakes are often incredibly expensive in business. And just one little learning, which they might have been through endless pain and sleepless nights for years, could give you that, impart that one little bit of piece of advice.
Brilliant. Thank
Sophie asked, what's the most powerful habit you've built? That's a good question. And I think I've come late to habits, actually, if I'm honest, Sophie. And recently, a habit that I've got, which is from this coach which I told you about, who suggested that I look after myself, is every day after work I will go outside where we've got this gym thing, and I will lie on this spiky shakti mat. I don't know if you've heard of these things. They're basically like a thousand, it's like a bed of nails basically, and I lie on it for about 20 minutes and I just chill out, and it's just me looking after myself really. And then I'll do a few weights and I will then come back to revive for the evening mayhem of children and supper and everything else. So that for me is my habit now, and I love it. It's the bit of the day after when this course finished, I will go out there and I will do that, and it's become my favorite part of the day.
And how would you advise that people who are possibly in those more city-centric, sort of very intense, long working days type careers find the breathing space for moments like that, for moments to themselves?
They need to find one way to do it, some way to do it. I mean, most people live somewhere near a park in London. It could be they get off a tube stop early and they actually walk. They walk maybe through a park coming home, so they just see a bit of nature, a bit of greenery. Could be they go down by the Thames and walk down the Thames path. It could be that you just decompress somewhere. It could be you go for a pint with a mate. You know, even that is just a nice breaker from the hecticness and stress of work before you get home and put on supper and go to bed, and then you're into that sort of groundhog day of a career. So breaking that sort of thing up, I think, is super important, because otherwise life just becomes very treadmilly. And that's when you just can't get off that roller coaster. So you just need to break things up and just have an interesting pace to your life and your day. And often people is the best way to do that, and friends. And I think even more so these days with this whole working from home culture, which I think is a disaster for society. People might think, oh, it's great, I can work from home, but actually it's not. And especially in your early career, when you will never learn and assimilate the kind of information and knowledge you need about any industry, terminology, networking, culture, what people are talking about, how people manage, how you negotiate with people on the phone, whatever it might be. So I would encourage anybody who's in the early career in particular just to find a job where they go into the office, ideally every day, at minimum 3 days a week. Because if you don't, you're going to really struggle to get up. You'll struggle to get promoted, I think, because when you're there within people, they'll see, oh, wow, this person's really good. So, yeah, that's really important.
With the mentoring and the office culture that you've sort of just mentioned, what do you think a particularly good piece of advice, possibly the best piece of advice you've received, whether that's early career, coming out of schools, or your transition from your own company into this sort of coaching sphere?
For me, it's never give up. It's very, very easy to give up. And especially these days, you know, as I said, people are like, oh, you know, I'm afraid that just doesn't work in the real world. And I think sometimes you just do have to be very bloody minded and you've got to grit through things. And I think when I look back at my career, the times when I haven't given up, when I so easily could have given up, have been the bits that I'm almost most proud of for myself. I've actually achieved more by not giving up. So you just sometimes just need to just really just work out how you will get through this challenge. And it can be very gritty, it can be very stressful, and you have sleepless nights or months. But that's, for me, is just such an important asset to have in life, whatever it might be. So yeah, if you've got a friend or family member that is struggling with an uneven wheel, is there a gentle way to point them towards some guidance or help without interfering? I mean, if you've been lucky enough, Sophie, to do this course, you could say, well, listen, fill in your life wheel, you know, show them this video. Because I think it's just really interesting exercises to look at things. And I promise you, when people do that wheel, and I don't know how everyone on this call has, how their wheels look, but I've done it with people and they've got a really high career in finance because their career is flying, their business is doing really well, they're making a lot of money, but their family, their friends and their fun are super low, like ones, twos and threes. And this guy, he looks at me and went, my God. And it was a really stark realization that their wheel is very imbalanced. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to get 10 on everything. Of course we won't. That's not reality. But you do need that balance to achieve your goals. And just because you're doing really well in the career doesn't mean that your family and your relationships, your friends should suffer. So you need to try and have some form of balance. So that's, in a way, the life wheel is a very good start way of doing it. And then the goal exercise is a good way to start achieving stuff. When you do things, you just feel better about yourself, really. FW asks, if the goal itself is exciting, but the steps towards reaching that goal are perhaps taxing and not particularly exciting, how do you recommend one motivates themselves to continue making progress? Good question. I mean, it depends what it is. I mean, sometimes it's a really boring thing and you just have to do it. If it's not particularly exciting, maybe you need to consider, is this the right thing for me? But what I would suggest is just what I said earlier on, is just step by step. You've got to start somewhere. So just get that first thing done and then it'll become easy to start. And sometimes it's just focus. I've got this thing called a Pomodoro timer. And so I'm very easily distracted. And what this does, I can set in a timer for 30 minutes, 25, 15, 10, and I would just set it, and it then it counts down. So it's now set in a 5 minute countdown timer, can you see? And it just means that I will focus fully for 5 minutes on that thing, and nothing will distract me. I put my phone away, and sometimes it's just having that laser focus of time that we need just to do sometimes the really most boring jobs. So yeah, Pomodoro timer. You can get cheaper versions online, or just use your phone countdown. What if I can't think of a purpose for, what if you can't think of a purpose for yourself? That's not necessarily easy, but I think it's important. The Ikigai exercise is a really good thing to do that. Look at what you're good at. Write a list of all the things that you're good at. Write a list of all the things that you love doing. And there can often be a correlation between those two. What does the world need? The world is in such a bad state at the moment. What does the world need that you can potentially help in some way through your career, through a hobby, through a passion? But also, how could you get paid to do that? So if you just think about all those things, I'm not saying it's easy. Not everyone can have this amazing purpose. You might be a stockbroker, and all you're trying to do is just make your clients richer. That's fine, and you'll make a lot of money. But I do think if we can try and find some sense of purpose, speak to a friend about it. How can we get a purpose? I think that's really, really important.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Ollie. I think possibly got time for one more before we have to wrap up. So if anyone has a question, pop it in the chat. Just maybe while people are typing things out. Do you think that the modern work environment still requires the same pressure on skills and qualifications? And if those are things that are a barrier between you and achieving what you want to be getting out of your life, how can you go about rectifying that?
Well, it's never been easier to learn skills. YouTube will pretty much teach you anything as a start of a 10. AI is becoming, if you're not on ChatGPT, you're stupid, quite honestly, because it can just help you with so many things. And I've just taught myself things. It can summarize a book in 20 seconds. It can teach you how to do things. It can teach you the process or skills you might need to do to approach something. And even if you talking about the purpose question, just ask it, how can I find a sense of purpose? And it will tell you what to do, and then you can think about it. You can use it as an interactive assistant. And what is coming with GPT is even more scary, when it's going to start to talk to you and it's literally like a human being. But also, it's just step-by-step learning. If you spend 18 minutes a day doing something, you will have done 110 hours in a year. Now think how much time we waste on Instagram and TikTok. 18 minutes, I bet all of us could spare 18 minutes a day just to do something. Let's say you wanted to learn the guitar or the piano or learn a language. 18 minutes to do that. And just imagine what you can do in 110 hours. So that micro dosing of whatever it might be is the best way to start to learn anything. Just read a chapter a day, read 2 pages a day. Even start off by saying, I'm going to read a chapter, or sorry, a paragraph. You read a paragraph, you'll read a page, you'll read 2 pages. So just start small and things will grow.
Well, thank you
Sorry, one
very much.
question, William. Are we losing anything fundamental in relying more and more on Chat GPT and other AI? Yes, we are. I thought definitely, but it's there and we can't fight it. And I'm really worried, because as a creative person, the jobs it's going to replace first are the creative jobs, which is deeply saddening. But it's there and we're going to use it. And I think we need to use it in the positive way that can help us. So use it to brainstorm with, use it to stimulate ideas that you may not be having, and then grow on them and augment them. But it's going to replace our brains ultimately, which is deeply worrying. But I think if we don't use it, we're actually almost trying to do a job with one hand behind our shoulder, behind our back. So it's a tool. We had libraries when I was at school. We had libraries. We didn't have the internet. But would you say I never go to Google now to find a solution to a problem? No, I'm gonna go to the British Library and look it up there. No, we use what the technology is in front of us. So yeah, that's my thoughts on AI. It's terrifying, but I think what's really, really important is that we find, and if you're reassessing your career or you're at the start of career, have a look at which jobs will be replaced, and millions will be replaced by AI in the coming years, and make sure that your job isn't necessarily replaceable. Or we have a phrase at work that AI won't replace your job, but people who can use AI will replace your job. So you've got to be the people who can use the prompts well, who understand how to use it for your industry, for your specialism. And that's the way to use it to your advantage.
Well, thank you very much, Ollie. I've certainly learned loads from that today, and I'm going to hand back to Caroline to sort of wrap things up for us.
Yeah, just to echo that, thank you, Ollie. That was incredibly thought-provoking. I've written down about five different really useful things that I'm sure that I'm going to apply. I think being a bit disciplined about it is quite important too, because I tend to think I'm going to do that and then it doesn't happen. So I think I really am actually going to try and write down those goals. I hope you all enjoyed it. Also, Blake, thank you so much, because I know you're under quite a bit of pressure yourself at the moment. So it's great that you found the balance to come and do something new, comparing this call, and I think you did really well. Thanks all of you for coming as well on this sunny evening. I hope you learned something. Our next Beyond Radley talk will be next term. So please do join us then, and otherwise enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us. Check our channels for the latest news and events from the Radleyan Society.